Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Human Rights for Prisoners March. I thank you for joining us today. I am Mary Neal. I'm Director of Assistance to the Incarcerated Mentally Ill. And we are pleased to have you join us today so that we can talk about human rights for prisoners. This is the Human Rights for Prisoners March. We march across the internet and demand human rights for all people, even those who are incarcerated on the supposition that they have done wrong. We still believe that they deserve human rights. In fact, we know that even incarcerated people are still human beings. They're made in the image of Almighty God, and they were by Him certain inalienable rights, and among those are certainly the right to life. The right to life. You know, inmates have no right to liberty, no right to liberty, not liberty in the sense that they can go where they want to, they can close the door and use the bathroom in privacy. They don't have the liberty to decide when they want to go to the refrigerator and make a snack or what they're going to do on any given day. Their liberty is gone. And many of them forfeited their own liberty by doing crimes. Assistance to the Incarcerated Mentally Ill members believe that crime is when people ignore other people's human rights and property rights. When other people ignore your human rights, in your property rights, you have become a crime victim. So therefore, a lot of things that are called crimes are really just, I don't know. For instance, people who are incarcerated for drug use. That, to my idea, shouldn't be a crime. That should be something dealt with in clinics. So, you know, there are some things, alcoholism, that is not a crime in and of itself. That is self-abuse, and that should be dealt with in clinics. So not everything that is written down by man as being a crime is a crime. I tell you what's a crime. What's a crime is what happened to Jerome Murdaugh, M-U-R-D-O-U-G-H, Jerome Murdaugh. He was a mentally ill Marine Corps veteran who was arrested in New York in February as he sought to find a warm place to rest. He was homeless. Jerome Murdaugh suffered from schizophrenia and bipolar disorder, according to news reports. And he was a homeless, mentally ill United States who was seeking a place to spend the night and to keep from freezing during the brutally cold New York winter. He was arrested, and he was taken to Rikers Island. He was kept there for a number of days, and then he was locked in a solitary confinement cell, like so many mentally ill people are. As a matter of fact, 60% of America's people, 80,000 people who are in solitary confinement, 60% of them mentally ill people. People with serious mental health conditions, like Jerome Murdoch. The heat was so pronounced in Jerome Murdoch's cell that he baked to death. I said he slow roasted to death. The psychotropic drugs that Jerome Murdoch was taking, that jail administered to him, made him much more susceptible to heat stroke than if he had not been on those psychotropic drugs. But even if he had not been on psychotropic drugs, still a person can slow bake in the type of temperature that was in Jerome Murdoch's cell. When Jerome Murdoch died in that cell, in that solitary confinement cell, which is torture in and of itself, when he was further tortured to death, apparently the jail administrators decided to keep it quiet. Evidently, they decided to just keep it quiet. After all, cities, states, and certainly correctional institutions don't want the kind of publicity that Rikers Island is getting right now regarding the wrongful death of a U.S. Marine Corps veteran who was slow roasted in its prison. They don't like that kind of publicity. Furthermore, wrongful deaths open up correctional facilities to wrongful death lawsuits, and they don't want that either. So apparently, Rikers Island, the city of New York, the state of New York, had, I imagine, discussed the passing, the inconvenient death of Jerome Murdoch in their custody, and had decided to keep it quiet. The reason I say that is because Jerome Murdoch, that was not his first arrest. He had been arrested numerous times for trespasses because of his mental illness. He had been arrested numerous times for offenses related to his mental health disability. And so it is entirely likely Jerome Murdoch's family's contact information was in his file. Furthermore, the jail informed Murdoch's attorney of his death within 3 days. Neither Murdoch's attorney nor Rikers Island prison contacted Jerome Murdoch's family. There was no picture in the newspaper going out to see who is related to this man who was mentally ill, who we baked to death. There was no outcry from the prison to find who knew the identity of this man, because I believe it was already in the file. Do you know how Jerome Murdoch's family was informed of his murder? AP, Associated Press, got in touch with the family. Not the prison, not the city of New York, not the state of New York, no official, no policeman, no jail guard, no one. But AP, Associated Press right now, for not joining that particular cover-up. And whether you knew you were transgressing or not, you did tell Jerome Murdoch's mother, 76-year-old black woman, and her daughter, Jerome Murdoch's sister, that their relative had been slow baked in Rikers Island prison. and I thank you for doing that. I don't think they would have been informed if a third party had not informed them. I don't think officials in New York, in Rikers Island Prison, nor even in the federal government would have informed the family about their missing loved one being roasted in Rikers Island. That's the sort of thing that people like to keep quiet. That's the sort of thing that families, especially black families, are prevented from knowing. I am the sister of a man who was mentally ill, Larry Neal. He was secretly arrested and murdered in Memphis Shelby County Jail in 2003. I've written some articles about Jerome Murdaugh, and I may be pronouncing this name wrong. I've never seen this name before, Murdaugh. Anyway, I keep a blog, and it is called Free Speak Blog. And unless someone gives me a ring here to discuss this, I'm just going to read you my article about Jerome Murdaugh. The telephone number, if you'd like to call and discuss, because when somebody dies in jail and the family isn't told for weeks, and when they are told, they're told not by any authority, but by a third-party media reporter, then that's a cover-up that the reporter blew. That's all it is. So if you want to discuss Jerome Murdaugh with me, you can call, please, 347-857-3293. Again, that's 347-857-3293. And now, if you go to my Free Speak blog, and that's an ironic name because I have anything but free speech. The name of the article is Jerome Murdaugh Roasted in Jail. AP told his family weeks later. That's the Associated Press. I'll just read the article to you. And if you want to call and comment or ask questions, please feel free. There was a time when I thought we could negotiate a confidential settlement regarding the secret arrest and wrongful death of Larry Neal. I assumed the government and the Cochran firm, that's the Jenny Cochran firm, would not want it known that a mentally ill heart patient who was a U.S. citizen, was killed, and his survivors were defrauded by a law firm carrying Jenny Cochran's name. We initially believed Larry's death was accidental. Not only was Larry Neal's death not accidental, but authorities do not seem to mind if the whole world knows that a mentally and physically disabled Americans are secretly jailed and killed, and that such deaths are covered up. It happens regularly. Apparently, it happened to Jerome Murdaugh. Jerome Murdaugh was a 56-year-old mentally challenged veteran who was baked to death in Rikers Island in February 2014. But his family was not told for weeks. Apparently, AP notified Murdaugh's family, not prison authorities or his attorney. The prison reportedly informed Murdaugh's state-appointed attorney 3 days after his demise. Perhaps officials and the lawyer had agreed that Murdaugh's family must never be told about their relative slow roasting to death in Rikers Island prison cell. Like Larry Neal, Jerome Murdaugh had suffered numerous previous arrests due to his mental illness before his fatal incarceration. It is likely that officials had contact information for Murdaugh's relatives in his file, but officials withhold information about mentally ill citizens' deaths, sometimes to spare themselves bad publicity and save money on wrongful death lawsuits. That is why Amy recommends that families physically search jails when looking for missing loved ones. Merely calling authorities and filing a missing person report are insufficient. As police lied when Larry Neal was missing for 18 days in 2003, he was secretly incarcerated throughout that time. Larry died in Memphis, Shelby County Jail, deprived of his heart medications and likely because of other inexcusable abuses of power. The Neals were never told the circumstances of Larry Neal's death, and we are censored and persecuted for asking. I have no doubt, as a matter of fact, I'm interjecting this comment, I have no doubt that my message about the radio show right now, Google Plus, are being censored. I have no doubt about it. But I'll carry on because it's therapeutic for me to talk about these abuses of power that happen continuously in the United States. Resuming with reading the article, I said, if not for AP contacting Murdaugh's relatives, Murdaugh might have been missing forever and presumed dead. That was the likely plan. If only the Cochran firm had not pretended under contract to handle Larry Neal's wrongful death and negligent civil actions, the Neals would have contacted media companies much sooner than we did to notify the public about Larry's secret murder. The Cochran firm swore us to silence immediately regarding Larry's death, which we did not recognize as being a cold-blooded premeditated murder. By the time we discovered the Cochran firm had secretly withheld our lawsuits while Tennessee's statute of limitations ran, nearly a year had passed, and mainstream media had obviously agreed to withhold reports about the wrongful death of Larry Neal, and you can Google that term. Wrongful death of Larry Neal, spell Neal, N-E-A-L. That is still the case today. As odd as it seems, Murdaugh's mom and sister, whose picture I have there on my article, are lucky. They do not have to investigate and report Murdaugh's death themselves. To the report about Jerome Murdaugh that were published by AP and Mother Jones. Mother Jones reports the United States operate 1,800 prisons and 3,000 jails. Like Alcatraz, they aren't about rehabilitation. They're about punishment. Number two, 80,000 people are held in solitary confinement every year. 80,000. Number three, as many as half of all sexual assaults in prisons are carried out by prison guards. The correctional officers are raping the prisoners. Incarcerated on earth are incarcerated in the U.S. One-fourth of all imprisoned people are right here in the land of the free, in the home of the brave. And I'm going to interject a note here and say to you that many of these incarcerated people are United States veterans who lost their bearings fighting wars. Yes, many of the incarcerated people are U.S. veterans who are among those who are arrested for mental illness like Jerome Murdaugh was. Number five, we have 2.3 million Americans behind bars, 2.3 million. They're held at ADX Florence, Pelican Bay, Rikers Island, where an inmate recently baked to death in his cell, baked to death. Rikers Island is the nation's second largest jail system with 12,000 inmates. A whopping 40% are mentally ill, and a third of them suffer from serious mental problems. That means they don't just have an unreasonable fear of a spider. They don't just have a fear of heights and aboard airplanes. Serious mental illness means conditions like PTSD, severe PTSD, severe bipolar disorder, schizophrenia. That's what Jerome Murdoch suffered from, schizophrenia and bipolar disorder. My brother, who was secretly arrested and killed in jail, Larry Neal, suffered from paranoid schizophrenia. That's a serious mental illness. All right. That's what, that's my excerpt from Mother Jones. I go on. Jerome Murdoch was arrested after seeking shelter from harsh weather in New York in February. The meds he was administered for bipolar disorder and schizophrenia made the former Marine more susceptible to heat. One can only hope, we hope, that Murdoch was asleep when he slow roasted in a solitary jail cell at Rikers. AP published an article called New York City Inmate Baked to Death in a Cell. Mother Jones' article is called America's Worst Prison Closed 51 Years Ago, Except It Didn't. Go on with the article. It says, condolences to Murdoch's family and close friends. Hundreds of thousands of people of all races and ages who were labeled as being mentally ill were roasted in Nazi ovens before World War II. A lot of people don't know that. Let me read that sentence again. Hundreds of thousands of people of all ages and races who were labeled as being mentally ill were roasted in Nazi ovens before World War II. Apologies for taking so long to decriminalize mental illness in the USA and give assistance to the incarcerated mentally ill. Our messages to the public and politicians are censored. That's why it takes so long to decriminalize mental illness, because censorship is used. Human rights advocates at AAMI hope that more care is applied in the future to ensure the safety of America's most vulnerable citizens and that victims and survivors are given due process instead of cover-ups when the system fails. A citizen is one who by birth or naturalization owes a debt of loyalty to a country and is due protection by that country. Certain exemptions apply. Murdoch showed his loyalty to the USA by enlisting in the military, but his protection as a homeless veteran was missing in action. Larry's family shows loyalty by enlisting in military service and by paying tax toll by a federal court order that whatever was done to prevent a lawsuit against Shelby County Jail was immaterial. Certain exemptions apply no matter who is in the White House or over the Justice Department. And then I have a picture of a black woman holding a U.S. flag. Thank you for joining me. I'm going to continue another 15 minutes. So hang in there with me if you're listening by tape. You may not be able to do that over the computer, but you can hear the whole tape by accessing the link for the show today. That's Human Rights for Prisoners March. I repeated paragraph 1 because oftentimes when people listen to my shows on cell phones, it's impossible for them to see paragraph 1. the only way to see paragraph one is to select to read the whole document. In other words, they code it so that paragraph one doesn't show on certain cell phones. So I usually, when I know they might do that, I put paragraph one further down in the article so that you will be able to see it. Censorship is applied to prison issues, especially regarding the incarcerated mentally ill, because the incarcerated mentally ill are the backbone of the private prison system. There are, as Mother Jones said, over 2.3 million people incarcerated in America right now. And of those, over half of them are mentally ill. 1.25 million of America's prisoners have mental health problems, and they should be either hospitalized or treated in their communities under an AOT program, which provides subsistence assistance for their food and clothing, and AOT programs also mandate their continued psychiatric treatment. So people who are mentally ill either belong to be inpatients in a hospital or outpatients under supervised AOT programs, not prison inmates, because it's not legal to punish someone for having a disability. And that's what serious mental illness is. It's a health disability. And so that's why they don't want people to discuss the fact that mentally ill people are wrongfully incarcerated, often with treatment denied. Even incarcerated, treatment is often denied. And then, going back to the article, I wrote, it would be illegal to keep a dog in a tight space 23 hours a day and gas or taser him for barking. It would be illegal to put a dog into a deadly control. But this happens to mentally ill Americans routinely in the nation's jails and prisons. What happened to Larry Neal? We still don't know. They won't tell us. They refuse. The officials in the United States of America, where we have promises about open disclosure and, you know, sunlight laws or whatever they call them, that's all bullshit. They will not reveal, they will not divulge how and why they killed Larry Neal under secret arrest in August 1st, 2003, during a heat wave in Memphis, Tennessee. We don't know. Because if you ask Shelby County Jail in Memphis, if you ask the United States Department of Justice, if you ask the Jenny Cochran firm frauds, what are they hiding? You might get stalked, censored, harassed. All kinds of things happen to us, particularly to me, because I continue to ask, what happened to Larry Neal? I'm so thankful to Mr. Murdaugh's family about his being baked in Rikers Island prison. Because, see, this mother and sister, they won't have to investigate their own relative's murder the way the Neal family does. And they won't have to seek justice for themselves, because a case that is getting this much publicity, I hope they get a very sincere and just on top of it lawyer who will present their lawsuit and get justice for them if they want to press a lawsuit. I hope they get a good lawyer. Mentally ill Americans deserve dog justice. dog justice. People need to be treated as well as the dogs in the United States. Treat mental illness medically and not legally. We advocate for U.S. Congress to pass H.R. 3717. That's a mental health care bill introduced by Representative Tim Murphy of Pennsylvania, Helping Families in the Mental Health Crisis Act. Helping Families in Mental Health Crisis Act. And I look at that bill, and please, read it carefully and support it. Right now, I think it's got about 46 co-sponsors, and of those, very few are from the Democratic Party, I think six. And of those six, fewer still are members of the Black Congressional Caucus of it, or the Congressional Black Caucus. Whereas these secret arrests and murders, these shootings of mentally ill people in our streets, most of those type tragedies are ours. They happen to Black people. But the Congressional Black Caucus is not supporting H.R. 3717, Families in Mental Health Crisis Act. And I would like to know why. And if there are changes that you propose for that bill, then I would like for you to send your suggested changes to Tim Murphy, Dr. Tim Murphy, who was a practicing psychologist before he went into politics, who knows what mentally ill people need. If you feel that the bill needs to be amended in some way before you can support it, then please send Dr. Tim Murphy, Representative Murphy, your suggestions, or put forth your own bill. But do include, like he did, AOT programs so that mentally ill people will have mandated continued psychiatric treatment. And do include the provision that he did for police officers and prison guards to be trained better on how to apprehend and contain the mentally ill without serious injuries or death. And do include, please do include, Medicaid, the insurance for inpatient treatment for the mentally ill, because it was the withdrawal of Medicaid, which I believe was done under Reagan, that caused all of the mental hospitals the nation to either close or downsize, to reduce services to Americans at a time when America was, you know, supposedly increasing community mental health care, but that wasn't true because they put in place stringent requirements that people with mental illness had to first be a danger to self or others before anyone else could commit them or before anyone else could to accept treatment. And, of course, with the serious mentally ill, it is entirely possible, in fact, it's likely, that those people were refused their medication because they don't recognize their own mental health disability. I have two comments here on this article in my Free Speak blog. I have two comments. And number one, I said Cochran firm frauds don't even think about representing Murdaugh's survivors in a wrongful death civil action. Whatever other attorney handles this case, good luck to you. Good luck. Know that I will be watching you. You know, so often when something happens to Black families like this Black veteran who was roasted in Rikers Island prison, when these tragedies initially happened, very often black people, African Americans, be very upset, and sometimes there are demonstrations. There's lots of chitter-chatter on the internet. Sometimes, like with Trayvon Martin, there are demonstrations planned. But that peters out so quickly. It all peters out. Like a child throwing a temper tantrum. That's why authorities have learned not to pay you much attention. If they can contain the anger, if they can soothe the anger, the initial outburst of anger, then they're home free, because African Americans do not have the to understand, or they don't seem to understand, that nobody cares about marching and singing. They don't. If all Martin Luther King and other people during the civil rights movement had just marched and sang songs, if that had been all they did in the civil rights movement, we'd still be sitting on the back of the bus and marching and singing songs these 50-plus years later. We would. But Martin Luther King Jr. and the other great civil rights leaders and the individuals who were their supporters understood one thing: power. The power structure is corporate enterprise. You know, it wasn't just about getting people registered to vote. It's not all about political power. Believe me, political power comes from enterprise. It comes from business. The businesses choose who will be your. The businesses make these decisions. It's just now really being, you know, driven home to Americans how much power the businesses have. Corporate America is superior to the government. It's superior to your elected and appointed officials. It is the most. So if you want to have a successful movement, marching and singing will not make your movement successful. You have to appeal to corporate America. And the only way to get their attention is through money. You must boycott for justice. That is what Martin Luther King recognized. That is what his supporters recognized. That is why those people boycotted the Montgomery buses, and that brought about desegregation of the buses. It was not simply the marching and singing. I want to thank you. I'm not going to have time to read the second comment at my Free Speak blog, but I ask you to do that. Again, the article that I read to you is called "Jerome Murdoch Roasted in Jail, AP Told His Family Weeks Later." Thank you again, AP. Please consider telling about the secret arrest and wrongful death of Larry Neal. Good day, everybody. See you on the Reverend Pinckney Show in an hour or so. God bless you.